Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. May I remind you, we'll be dealing with a very, very serious issue today that I believe every Christian, every conservative needs to be aware of and attentive to. We're going to be talking about today political jihad, 2020 Islamic invasion, the 2020 Islamic invasion. We're talking about the Islamic invasion via political jihad, running for office, being elected, city, state, and national elections, November of 2020. It will be very, very eye-opening, and I pray that you'll stay tuned, that you'll take notes, be cognizant, aware, and actively involved in trying to fend off the tide that will overtake America, lest we as conservatives and Christians stand up, speak up, and go to the ballot box and vote in November. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind us that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on ideological bent or denominational dogma. When we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, for us to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in our hand, we need to face the issue based on Scripture, based on the truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He made that statement to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." It is the truth of the Word of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not just contain truth. It is the source book of truth. It is the totality of truth. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, which is truth. How do I know that? You study the Word of God and you see that. But first and foremost, Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." And when you look for truth, you look for the Word of God and its answer. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's exactly what we see taking place today across America. And you can vivify that by simply looking at the Beltway in Washington and understand that they do not recognize truth at all. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the goal of every child of God, of every Christian. Not a matter of ideological bent or dogma or what you think or say. What you think or what I think or say, it's not worth 2 cents. But what the Word of God says and our stand as we stand on the Word of God ought to be the first, foremost, and the final authority in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to our studios, right to our microphones, so that we can have dialogue and discussion today. I invite your calls. This radio broadcast is designed around you, our listener. We'd like to hear from you. I'd like to understand what your thoughts are and how do you relate to what we're saying. Are you cognizant of these things? Are you aware of them? Are you taking a stand on them, about them, and against them in relationship to the protection our religious liberties and freedom of speech and our constitutional rights? Or are you just simply in lethargy? Let me remind you once again, ladies and gentlemen, that in 2016 election, 31 million Christians failed to vote. And I want to urge you, do not sit by in silence this election year. It is imperative that we as Christians vote. We realize that the Bible tells us, warns us, that we're living in perilous times. The perilous times, perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, deadly. And that's the era in which we're living in. And it demands that we do something other than sit in silence. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment company, that dealership that specializes in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as the professional. And they also carry the full hurricane preparedness equipment and a full line of Honda generators with a staff that's knowledgeable of all of the equipment to give you instructions and answer all your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. It's where the gigantic flag flies. About 165-foot flagpole with an enormous American flag. Find the flag. At the base of that flagpole, the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the subject today, the issue today, is one that I have dealt with a number of times on this broadcast, but there's simply a ton of information, as I would call it, in relationship to these issues and the issue about Islam and the Islamic jihadism and the Islamic Sharia law that's creeping into America. And it's creeping in at every crevice, every avenue, every venue, and every aspect of American life today. Time will not allow on any single broadcast to cover all of the details about such an enormously dangerous, looming event that will be is taking place as I speak. But perhaps you've read about it or heard about it, the push in America for control of the political system by Islam. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, unindicted co-conspirator in 2006, 2007, and 8, and the Holy Land Foundation, where they had a fake foundation set up, garnering funds. Those funds are being utilized, transmitted back out of America to fund terrorists and to fund the terrorism around the globe. And CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, was found as a unindicted co-conspirator in that. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is a wicked, evil, dangerous, deadly, dark organization. But ladies and gentlemen, they are pushing to control the election in November of this year. They're pushing to have control of the number that go into the House and the Senate. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says CARE's goal, Council on American Islamic Relations goal, 30 Islamists in Congress. They're also pushing with some 5,200 candidates for office, for city, state, local, national offices. This article in brief says, a strong CARE equates a strong community. A strong community will produce a strong and confident, successful Muslim. So I'm telling you tonight, we are going to work in the next year, Allah willing, to elect at least 30 Muslims in Congress. This number is equivalent to our size and our potential and as American Muslims, including at least two U.S. Senate seats as Muslims. In addition, this Islamic spokesperson envisions Muslim judges, including justices of the U.S. Supreme Court, along with Islamic extension of Hollywood. In 1998, CARE Chairman Omar Ahmed told a crowd of Muslims in California, Islam isn't in America to be equal to any faith, but to become dominant over all faiths, end quote. Keep in mind, this message was echoed through Southern California Mosque by the rabid Islamic imam there, and was carried out by communication through the Muslim Alliance in North America, and says, there is no America. There is only Islam. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please don't think that that's just a speech by an Islamic that's just rattling off idle words. They have a goal for the total subjection and domination of America. And the demographers tell us that if we continue the direction and the trajectory that we're on now, that Islam will dominate America by 2050. Now, that might not bother you, but it does me. I realize that I won't be here in 2050. Many of you will not be. But I feel that we ought not to take the lethargic attitude of saying, well, since I won't be here, it won't matter. Our sons and our daughters and our grandkids will be here if Jesus tarries, if the rapture of the church tarries, if the world continues to exist, that shall take place. And I'm concerned from a Christian standpoint. I'm concerned from a conservative standpoint. I'm concerned from a central biblicist standpoint and what we ought to do. I think it's sad for any Christian to sit back and say, well, I'm not worried about it. I'm just going to talk about Jesus and leave everything alone. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the world. Though our citizenship is in heaven, we are aliens passing through this world, but we are citizens in our nation, and as such, we should be salt and light. As Christians, we ought to be salt and light, and we need to know what's happening, and we need to take a stand in the preservation and protection of the United States of America and for the benefit of our families and for the future. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Muslim running for Congress, quote, we're done with waiting. It's our turn now. Let me read that again. Perhaps you didn't get the impact of the major title of this article. Muslim running for Congress, colon, quote, we're done with waiting. It's our turn now. A 27-year-old Muslim man running for Congress in Michigan is challenging the U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell in the Michigan's 12th Congressional District in the 2020 race. Recently released a campaign video on Facebook saying, we're done waiting. It's our turn now. It's an independent journalist from California who covers news for the mainstream media refuses to report on this event. Covers anti-American candidates running for the U.S. elections, terrorism, crimes committed by illegal aliens, and indoctrination of children through schools and media. Some of the comments on that, a string of them, about four or five pages of comments by different people, said, we don't need you. We don't need another Muslim in Congress or in our government anywhere. Another one says, no Muslim should be allowed into our Christian nation. Read your Quran, people. Their only goal is to kill everyone who will not bow to Allah. And the article continues, but I want you to get the headline again. Muslim running for Congress says we're done waiting. It's our turn now. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not just one Islamic philosophical rational reasoning. It's not just one statement by one Muslim. That permeates the Islamic community across America. It permeates the thought of Islamics in every nation in which they're not in total control already. It is the mindset and the goal to control America through the political process. Now, we'll talk about that later in the broadcast, about the different processes, the different jihad modes, and what it means, and how they will take control, and why we ought to be concerned. And I understand there are a lot of folks that think, well, you know, as let me just give you an example. A number of years ago, a dear lady wrote me a real castigating letter because I'd said something on a broadcast about Islam, and our marquee out front said something about Islam and what she considered a negative sense. I said, Muhammad believes in war, believes in murder. Jesus says that we ought not to commit murder. And I quoted the scripture references on the marquee. She took it upon herself to send me a letter castigating me because of our stand and our revealing what the Quran says on a public marquee. In one of her letters to me, out of about four or five, and I sent her, I believe, about 8 or 10 different books on Islam, trying to educate her before she continued to open her mouth and show her ignorance further. But she said, I go to a certain university here in the city, and she said, my mathematics professor, one of my academic professors, is a Muslim. He's the kindest, sweetest man that I've ever met. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just clarify some things for you, and we'll talk about that also in the broadcast. While Islam is in the minority in any city, state, or nation, while they're still in a number under 3%, they will be kind and will look and act submissive and peaceful. But that's not the real Islam. That's not the real Muslim. That's not the real heart of the Islamics on a global basis. Now, I understand for those that may be listening, say, well, God created us all. God loves them. Yes, that is true. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just put it, the young blood vernacular, they're wired different. They think different. They have different motives. Why is that so? Because they read the wicked, evil, demonic book called the Quran. The Quran is not from God. It is from Allah, the moon god of the Bedouins of the 7th century. And it is wicked, evil, and demonic. Here's an article that says, two Muslim candidates head to runoff election in Texas. And it talks about the name of the offices they're running for. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about political jihad, the 2020 Islamic invasion in America. And the stage has been set now for some time. Their aim and their goal is for absolute jihadist Islamic domination in any nation that they go into. An Islamic does not come into a nation to assimilate, to be a part of, but to take control and to dominate. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, the aim of CAIR, K-C-A-I-R, again, in case you didn't get it, Council on American Islamic Relations. CAIR, the Muslim organization, is to get 30 Islamics, also known as jihadists, elected to Congress. As Americans, I believe there are 3 or 4 now, this writer says. We have to do everything in our power to see that this never happens. Our goal should be to get rid of those already here. Muslims do not have the best interest for America at heart. They're the enemies of America, plain and simple. Even mentally disturbed, deranged liberals should be capable of seeing this. I know wishful thinking on my part, this writer in this particular article says. Muslim Supreme Cleric Al-Khomeini claims that the annihilation of the Americans and Israel are in accordance with their teachings of the Quran. Remember this the next time a Muslim running for elected office in our country. Listen, he claims that annihilation of America and Israel are in accordance with the teachings of the Quran. And that's exactly right. You study the Quran, you analyze the Quran, and you discover that there is a warning to every Muslim, make no friends with the Christians or Jews. They're not to be your friends if you're a Muslim. And there's the total idea of dominance. In fact, the word Muslim means submission, to submit. And ladies and gentlemen, every nation that Islam has entered, it has ultimately controlled. So why is it that in America, there's a silence from the pulpits, a silence from the political establishment, a silence from anything in the public in relationship to what the goals are for the total domination and control of America? Ladies and gentlemen, while America is fixated on the phony, illegal political impeachment that Nancy Pelosi and the socialist Marxist Democrats are carrying out, the Islamic jihadists have their eyes on political jihad. They have their eyes on the offices across America. Ladies and gentlemen, and I believe it was in about 2003, 4, 5, 6, someplace in there, if my mind is correct on that, my memory, that the head of the CAIR out of Tampa, Florida, heading up for the Southern Florida area, for all of Florida, for the Council on American Islamic Relations, Dr. Parvez Ahmed, now on the Human Rights Commission here in Duval County, and Islam has no essence of no similitude of human rights whatsoever. But that's his position, thanks to two former mayors that sponsored him and made sure that he was spearheaded and forced through to that position. While he was still head of CARE, operating out of Tampa, Florida, he ran on the CARE webpage for every Muslim everywhere in the state of Florida to run for office. If whether it be dog catcher or otherwise, run for political office and then start networking in political offices to take control. Now, that has been taken down, of course, when Parvez Ahmed moved to Jacksonville, wanted to have a fresh start, didn't want the eyes of the world to be looking at his background and his bent for Islamic jihad. But nevertheless, that's the mindset of Islam today. And that is the eye on political jihad. That is political war, if you will, for the control of America. It is the goal, it is the intent, and the aim of the Council on American Islamic Relations to have a vast legion of Islamics in America to overthrow our Constitution and dominate our nation. Now, you might say, well, that's a little bit heavy. I don't believe that it's that bad. I don't believe that that's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, the networking has been taking place for many, many years in America. The networking to gain control and to be in control and to have dominance in America, and that for that fact, for the whole Western Hemisphere, has been in operation for some time. Islamics, ladies and gentlemen, until there's between 3% and 6% in any city, state, or nation, until there's between 3% and 6%, they're silent. They seem to be submissive. They seem to be standing down. But once there's between 3% and 6%, let me just read you from my book on page 162 to 163. Title of the book is Islam Tolerant? 25 chapters, about 250 pages. And I commend it to anyone that's interested in this subject. But according to the statistical facts, once a nation gets between 3 and 6% Muslim population, the Islamics will begin to push for the following. The introduction of halal, that means clean Islamic standards and food in lunchrooms and restaurants. They'll start pressuring supermarkets to stock up on halal food, that is, food that's viewed as being acceptable by the Islamics. They begin to push to get government to allow them to rule themselves under Sharia law, that is, Islamic law. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that in this broadcast. We're finding that taking place in Michigan. It's taking place in New York, where the governmental officials are allowing them to run Islamic community patrol cars, looks like police cars, and they're patrolling the Islamic neighborhoods, supposedly, but now they've been found to patrol all other areas. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happening in London, England, as we speak today. In fact, law enforcement in London, England, will not go into the Islamic centers, the major Islamic controlled areas, because of the danger. And so Islam in England today, Islam is controlling itself. They're patrolling itself. They have Islamic Sharia courts in Europe today. This further stated, they begin to push to get government to allow them to rule themselves. That's happening in America today. They begin to say that non-Muslim action will offend the Muslim cartooned roadway signs, Islam news and articles and speeches, resulting in car bombings, political threats, instigation of false claims to get the FBI and law enforcement to investigate the claims. Ladies and gentlemen, I spoke of the head of CARE from Tampa, Florida, a number of years ago on his website also. He says that if you're a Muslim, you're walking down the street, somebody spits on the sidewalk, call the police officer, make a false claim, claim that that person was trying to spit on you. You've got to come across, he said, as looking as the underdog so that you will be others will uphold you and will applaud you. This article also states, start seeking governmental appointments or positions of authority. Start a major increase of building of mosques, over 3,000 in America today. Ultimately, they would demand the right to broadcast their prayers 5 times a day over the loudspeakers in your community. It's happening now, ladies and gentlemen, all over the state of Michigan. It is happening all over Michigan today. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. We lost him. You call back if you're still listening. Then the other thing, there'll be rioting and jihad missions, killing, burning of Christians and churches and Jewish synagogues. all of this under the banner of peaceful Islam, even when Islam is 100% in a nation like Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Yemen, etc. There's no peace. But they claim it's peaceful Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as peace in Islam in any form or fashion. There's a push to dominate and totally control. But ladies and gentlemen, you might ask the question, why should a Christian be concerned about it? Why should we as conservatives and as Christians be concerned about this in America today? Because, ladies and gentlemen, every nation that Islam has dominated, every city or state where Islam dominates, Islam becomes the major, major focus, and Christianity becomes the focus then. And if Christians, you can go to Canada today, you can go to most of Europe today, you can go to places like Michigan today, right here in the good old United States, and you can publicly say something about Islam, and it could be totally correct. But if it is viewed as being less than positive, it could be considered hate speech, and you could be persecuted and prosecuted as a Christian for saying anything about it. But ladies and gentlemen, we must remember, they out to overthrow our Constitution and to dominate our nation. Remember, as I said earlier, the demographers tell us about 2050, Islam will be in total control. Yet we hear nothing, ladies and gentlemen, from the politicians. We hear nothing today from the pulpits. We hear nothing today from the supposed conservative pundits about this issue. Even when something is said about an Islamic, then they are denigrated and something is said negative about them. Recently, I understand that John Rutherford, the U.S. Representative, House Representative, member from the 4th District, said something about Donna Deegan. Donna Deegan had said something about Rutherford, that is, because John Rutherford had said something about the Islamic jihadist, Islamic people in the House, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And he had said something about them and what they're doing and their negative response in relationship to what our president's doing and trying to get the jihadists that are trying to destroy Americans and others on a global basis. And she called him a racist just because he said something she said of women of color. Well, I'll be interviewing John Rutherford on this broadcast in the near future, and I'm going to ask him that question. And I think we need to take a stand with him because what he said has been absolutely factual and truthful. Today, ladies and gentlemen, our government is controlled in our government-controlled public school system. They fully embrace Islam. In the public school system, ladies and gentlemen, Islam is taught as being peaceful. Islam is taught as being superior to Christianity and Judaism. In fact, in the textbooks being used by our grade schools, high schools across America, it gives 5 times more coverage for Islam than of Christianity and Judaism combined. And it praises Islam as being a true religion, praises Islam as being a peaceful religion. We're talking about in our public schools, ladies and gentlemen. It's taught, the students are taught to reenact Islamic life. The students are taught to regurgitate and to pray the Shahada, which is the conversion prayer in Islam. They're taught the verses, surahs out of the Quran. And yet you can't have a cross, you can't have a Bible, you can't have prayer, you can't talk about Jesus in Jesus' name. And at our public schools, ladies and gentlemen, there is a brag in Islam today that they will control America through the academic educational system. And it's an academic educational system that I've called for the past 50 years the governmentally controlled schools. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be encouraged and recognize there is a need to continue to study and understand what the Word of God says in comparison. We're going to take about a minute break for the top of the hour news. Coming back in just about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.